It's Matthew chapter 25 tonight that we'd like to turn to. And just while you're doing so, can I add my welcome to you, to that of our brother Ian. We thank Ian for leading the meeting tonight. And we're glad that you're in the house of God. We're glad that you're here. And as we already said, if this is your first time, we trust you feel at home. And that you might even come back again during the course of this week. Do remember the meetings as they continue. Pray much for them. And God's servant, the Reverend Martin, will be back tomorrow night. He has exhorted us to even remember prayer in the middle of the day, that the Lord might come and bless the remainder, the final week of our meetings, of our mission, and it'll be God. Chapter 25 of Matthew, let me read from verse 10, for the sake of time. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Ending there the words of verse 13. And knowing the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon him. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. You pray the Lord might speak to your heart tonight, not merely the one beside you, but your soul this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank the Lord for the messages in song that our sister brought even this evening. Lord, surely that question comes before the hearts of men and women. What will I do with Jesus? And we pray that thou wouldst solemnize our hearts just now as we come even to this passage and to the preaching of thy word. Thank you, Lord, it is thy truth. And O God, I pray that thou would fill me with thy spirit and with power. Thou would anoint this with fresh oil from above. For O God, we desire to preach in the power and demonstration of thy Spirit tonight. And Lord, we pray that thou would give a highway. And thy Spirit, Lord, would move and apply the word to individual souls, that there might be signs following the preaching of thy word. O God, may there be signs following in the life of God's people. May there be signs following even with the unconverted. O God, hear and answer prayer, for we offer it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. It is obvious that the Savior here is continuing his discourse of the second coming and of the end of the world. You see, dear people, that is the theme that is dominant in Matthew chapter 24 and of the events that shall take place, both prior to and at his coming. And yet, as we enter into chapter 25, the Savior is teaching further by three divisions. For some other various important arguments concerning that return of his to this earth. There is the argument for diligence and for faithfulness, seen by the verses concerning the talents. The latter part of the chapter, it gives us verses which are full of beauty and full of majesty, because therein is found a description for us of the great day of judgment. But it is to these opening verses that I direct your attention tonight. And if there is one other thing that these verses are conveying, then surely it must be the need for watchfulness, and that our hearts are right before God, of the day and of the hour that the Lord's return, not even the angels in heaven know. And yet it is something by these words that is expected. For we read of the 10 virgins, and they all took their lamps, and they all went forth to meet their bridegroom. The bridegroom, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is termed as Lord in these verses. And throughout the scriptures, reference is made of him, time without number, of the bridegroom who is coming back for his bride, who is his church. That church that he has purchased with his own precious blood on the cross of Calvary. One day he shall present her faultless with exceeding joy before his Father in heaven. And these words bring before us that day when the Lord shall escort His bride into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The question that arises is this: are you one that is watching for that day? Is thine heart right with God tonight? For if there is another truth that is obvious in these verses, then it is this: not all are watchful. Not all are right and ready for the Lord's return. There is no middle ground or category here. You are either wise or foolish. You are either the sheep of the Lord or the goats of the devil. You are either the tares or you are the wheat. You are either the good fish or the bad that is cast in the net. One thing is certain: the Lord is coming back. And here are described 10 virgins who expect His coming and who wait for His coming. But their waiting was long, and it seemed that there was a delay. It may even have been rumored that He wasn't coming, for there are those today who say, where is the promise of His coming? But as surely as He came once, so unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. And it is while these all slept that the cry was to be heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And I want to take you to my text. In the words of verse 10, oh, what a division there is. What a division was to occur at the sound of that cry. And I draw you to think with me tonight, particularly of the five wise. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with Him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You will see first of all there with me the entrance. The darkness had fallen. The watching eyes had grown weary with sleep when the call was to awaken them all. And it was then that the five wise were to take their lamps, and they were to pour oil into those lamps. And with that procession drawing near, they that were ready went with Him to the marriage. You'll notice that their entrance was in an instant of a moment. We have already intimated that all the virgins were expecting the coming of the bridegroom, and they were waiting, and that time seemed to be long, and that time seemed to be tarrying. Because we're told in verse 5 that He tarried. And it was while He tarried that they all slumbered and that they all slept. Why He tarried they, nor we, are not told. But you know, we can think tonight of the long suffering and of the patience of our God. Patience of God giving opportunity for men to repent and to believe the gospel. It was seen in that time prior to the great flood that came upon the world. For God gave a wonderful message in the name of Noah's grandfather, who was called Methuselah. Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. And Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived on this earth. 969 years he was when he died. Tell me, dear soul, tonight, does that not speak of the long suffering? Does that not speak of the patience of Almighty God? It was only when Methuselah died that then the flood came. And they, and only they that heeded the message of Noah, the preacher of righteousness, were safe and secure in that ark. And I tell you, when the Lord comes back, the time of waiting will be over. For then, in an instant of a moment, they that are ready shall enter into the reward. And for them it will be immediate glorification. The saint of God shall need nothing else but to see the face of Christ and to enter into the joy of the Lord. Let me remind you tonight, there is no in-between place. There is no in-between state known in the Scriptures. It is as Job was to say in chapter 19 and the words of verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." The Bible knows nothing of a purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. It's either with Christ or it is in the destination of eternity to be without Christ and without hope for all time. Dear saved loved one, if death should come first, then it shall be absent from the body and it will be immediately present with the Lord instantly. And if you are still alive when the Lord returns, then at His coming you shall be changed and you shall rise to meet the Lord in the air instantly and forever to be with the Lord. Tell me, is this an entrance that you're assured of this evening? That as soon as the Lord comes back, instantly you'll go and you'll enter in. You see, there's something else here about this entrance, and there is also the intimacy. For it says, "They that were ready went in with him to the marriage." They went in with him. The repentant and believing souls shall have company. They shall have the Lord and their Savior to bring them and lead them through the gates. Well, listen, it'll not be Peter. It'll not be any of the other apostles. It'll not be any of the angelic beings who are never saved and who don't need to be saved. They don't need God's redemption. But our heavenly escort will be none else than the Savior Himself. For it is His will that His redeemed would be with Him. He stated that in His last will to His Father. For John 17 and verse 24 says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." And for the repentant sinner, the very bliss and the very center of heaven's joy and attraction is none other than Christ. And the entrance into there is with Him. But dear loved one, if He is not your joy, and if He is not your attraction down here on earth, then how can you expect Him to be so in eternity? If you do not know Him as Savior, and you're not in that relationship with Him whereby you can say like the psalmist tonight, "I love the Lord. I love the Lord because He first loved me." Then you cannot justifiably expect such an entrance into glory. Does your heart lie to Christ this evening? If not, then you are not yet numbered amongst the wise. If those two words, with Him, if they mean nothing to you, then tell me, how can you ever expect or hope to be in heaven and in that marriage supper? It is the Lord who must bring you in with Him. And you'll see it leads me on to consider the identity of this entrance. Where do these five virgins go into? It is with Him to the marriage. The entrance is not into the caverns of the damned. It is not into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. For you see, these are the wise and not the foolish. There are those who know the Lord, and they are in that personal union with Him. But it is to that joyous occasion of the marriage of the King's Son that they are brought and that they enter into. That time has come of which John speaks of in the book of the Revelation, when the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife hath made herself ready. And please note that for the wise virgins, it was not their portion just to stand outside the door. It was not their portion just to listen to the music or to enjoy the light that might have come streaming through that door or that entrance when it was open for a few seconds. For it states that they went in with Him to the marriage. Neither are they second-class guests either. Like it is so many these days, who are invited to parties after the wedding. They're not close enough to the bride and groom to be invited to the wedding itself. And so they get the consolation prize of coming afterwards. But there's none of that here. You see, the wise shall not be present at the wedding feast merely as Christ's servants or as onlookers. But they're there to partake in the fullness of the blessing of the glory. All the while, the object of their innermost love is that most special, that most dear, that most intimate friend, even the beloved Savior. Let me ask, are you assured of this entrance to this wedding in heaven? Are you going? This I do know, that the invitations are going out now. The invitations are going out now through the message of the gospel and by the pleadings of God's Spirit as the free offer of grace is extended to your heart again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. But I need to know, are you going? Will you be there? Will you enter in? I wonder, sinner, will you come now and make sure you're entering? For you see, not only do we have the entrance, but we have the entrance. It's important that we consider something of those who are seen to enter into this wedding. There's the entrance. And the reason why they're called wise virgins in our passage is because it describes those who were ready in our text. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. There's the entrance. They that were ready. And you know, that implies immediately to us that mankind is not ready. By nature and by practice and by birth, we have all fallen in Adam's sin, and nothing that defileth shall ever enter into that place. And you just think of a moment how vile and how sinful man really is. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have fallen short of God's perfect standard. The throat of man is an open sepulchre. Their tongues, they are used for deceit. His mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So please understand, sinner, that you cannot enter into this marriage supper of the Lamb just the way you are tonight. And all your church attendance and your religious acts does not change your nature one iota. For while you might consider the sinfulness of man on the other side, you must also consider the holiness of God. He is so pure and holy that he cannot behold evil nor look upon iniquity. Christ is a glorious bridegroom, spotless from eternity. He is infinite perfection. He is the Son of righteousness. He is the very opposite to what man is in a sinful state. And it is obvious then that those who will go into this marriage supper with him must be made ready. What is it to be made ready? Preacher, how can I be ready tonight? To be made ready means a change has to take place. That change is so radical and thorough that indeed it is that they are born again. They become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's a change that means that God indwells them by the power of His Spirit. For that which is noticeable in our passage and that which distinguishes between the wise and the foolish virgins, listen, it's the oil. The oil. For five of them, they had the oil for their lamps. But for the foolish, when they were to trim their lamps, they had no resources of oil. They had lamps, but a lamp is no good unless it has the oil to cause the light to shine forth. No child of darkness can ever enter into the place of God's light. You must be brought out of nature's darkness. You must be brought into God's marvelous light. Men and women, you must understand that this change must take place, or you will not be an entrant into this marriage supper of the Lamb. You must have the oil of God's Spirit indwell in you. For the Lord says through the apostle, "Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He said to Nicodemus, a religious man, he said, "You must be born again." You must be born again. The promise of the Savior to His disciples was of the giving of His Spirit. John 14 and the words of verse 17, let me read them. "Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And as I preach to this congregation tonight, I believe you know whether God has come into your life or not. I believe you know right well within your own heart whether there's been that change that God has wrought from inside out in your life or not. You know that. The change can only come about not by our works that you or I can do, but it is through the experience of being born again by God's Spirit, of being saved, of trusting in Christ by faith. It's according to His mercy He saved us. Now, has there been that change? Have you been born again? See, that's the means whereby you must be made ready. The entrants are also made ready, furthermore, before by being cleansed. These are those who have put on not merely a good outward appearance. You know, there are those who can do that. They're upright in their ways. They're decent. They're maybe even a religious sort of a church-going people. But as the five foolish virgins, they're not ready when the bridegroom comes. The wise are those who are pure in God's sight. For they have had their sins washed away. God has declared to them that they are justified in His sight, just as if they had never sinned. Aye, but how can that be? We know that God is a holy and just God who must and will punish sin. And we know the natural state of man is one of being sinful. How then, preacher, can that be? How can they be cleansed? How can I be cleansed? All because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who obediently went to the cross of Calvary as the sinner's substitute. And there He was to endure the wrath of God against sin. There He was to pay the punishment that it deserved. And that meant death. And that meant all the horrors of hell that accomplished it or accompanied it. It meant Him being separated from God the Father in that darkness that veiled the whole earth. It meant Him enduring what a sinner deserves for their sin. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus paid it all. He satisfied divine justice. He met the demands of God's holy law by shedding His own precious blood, and He arose again. And because of Christ, God can declare to the sinner who comes in repentance of their sin, the one who comes and accepts Christ's work on the cross in their behalf, that their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, savingly applied to your heart. You want to be an entrant to this marriage. Listen, you need to be cleansed. You need to be changed. And you need to be clothed as well. The wise must have on the wedding garment to be ready. These old garments of sin and filthiness will not do for that holy place. The garments of self-righteousness. Preacher, I'm not too bad. I go to the church every Sunday. I pay into the church. I go through those religious acts. I'm a good neighbor. Listen, they're only rags. Rags of self-righteousness in God's sight that will not suffice. To be ready, we must have the spotless garment and robe of Christ's righteousness on. And you see, that's the garment that is led to the account of the sinner when they come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. You must be clothed with what Christ is clothed with, or you will not be entering into this marriage. Tell me, do you have on these garments? Or am I preaching to one tonight and you're in danger of being like the man in Matthew chapter 22 who, when the king came in, he noticed that he had not on the wedding garment? Oh, that tells me a lot. That tells me that he may have looked even like the rest of the guests. There was little difference to be seen. They didn't notice the difference, but the king noticed. That tells me there was a man and he may have been offered the garment, but he refused. There was a man and he may have procrastinated of the garment to be put on. He said, I'll get it a little later. But when the king came in, he had no garment on. And oh, the fearful words of the king. For it says when he was put the question to him, why hast thou not a wedding garment on? He was speechless. And the king was to say, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I plead earnestly with you to make sure. Make sure you're ready. That there's been that change by the new birth. That you've been cleansed in the precious blood. And that you're clothed tonight in Christ's righteousness. Then you're ready. And then you'll be an entrant into this marriage supper. But you see, there's one other thought in my text before I close, and that is the exclusion. There's another scene depicted in our text. They that were ready went into the marriage with him, and the door was shut. It was not just closed over. It was shut. And that meant there was a complete separation between the wise and the foolish virgins. This exclusion was entirely justified. Those other virgins ought to have gone in also with the bridegroom. Those other virgins ought to have been there on time. The bridegroom had tarried in his coming. He had given up ample opportunity for them to get ready. They had enough time to get oil for their lamps. And so, my friend, God has given you ample time to get ready for his return. For how many times have you been brought under the gospel message? How many missions have you been spared to be able to attend? How often have you heard of that heavenly bridegroom who has promised, I will come again? How often has Christ and his work on the cross been lifted up before your view and what he accomplished there for sinners such as you? How often have you heard of the Savior as your only hope, as your only sin bearer? How often has God's Spirit strove with you, and all these years you've rejected his offer of mercy and you've wanted your sin instead of the Savior? Wasted years. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. You ever hear it sung? That's you tonight. Not saved. And if God should shut the door of his grace on you this evening, then he will be justified. And you will receive what you deserve. And it's what I deserve. But for the grace and the mercy of God. It's what every sinner deserves, is a lost eternity. My sinner friend, be wise now and seek him while he is to be found. Prepare your soul for the great eternity. For notice also that this exclusion, it was final. When the door was shut, there was no hope for those who were outside. You know, so it was in Noah's day. For we read back there that God shut them in. There was only one door in the side of the ark, and God shut them in. And the door of that ark could not be opened for those who had heard the preacher of righteousness and had recalled his invitation to the gospel. He had preached to them. He had warned them of the coming wrath. He had bidden them to come into the ark. But when the floods came, they perished. The door couldn't be opened again. And dear soul, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God shuts a door, no man can open it. And this door was shut. And it shuts in the wise with Christ forever. And it shuts out the foolish from Christ's presence forever. And that is what you're facing without the Savior. For once that door is shut, there'll be no second chance. Where death meets you, there the judgment will find you. And there you will be and remain for all eternity. And just think how those foolish resemble those that were shut in so many ways. They too were called virgins. They weren't the ignorant. They too had the lamps that once burned. They too went out to meet the bridegroom. They were so like the others, but they were shut out finally, for they had never received the oil of God's Spirit. In salvation. And the exclusion was final. And it was prayed in our prayer meeting tonight, this might be the last mission for some soul in this gallery. This might be the last meeting for some soul in this congregation. Where God's voice is speaking to you and the door is yet open and yet there is room. For dear loved one, I want you to see in closing that this exclusion is fearful. For look just with me at the end of verse 12 to what the Savior said to them. I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Oh, they were heard to use the right language. They said, Lord, Lord. Did they cry, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? What fearful words they were to hear in return. I know you not. They're only professors. And they're shut outside the door of heaven. I know you not. Does God know you this evening as one of His? If not, then come now. Come now and make sure and be certain that you will enter in with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. For how much greater will be the gnashing of teeth to be so near the kingdom of knowing what is going on inside, and yet you're shut out for all eternity. And the door was shut. One door. And only one. Yet its sides are two. The inside and the outside. And which side are you? As the children's hymn, our chorus. good theology. On which side are you tonight? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Are you in danger? Your soul has been shut outside. Let's be honest. Judgment Day, honesty now. Has there been that change in your life? Have you known that cleansing? Are you clothed in Christ's righteousness? On which side of the door are you? Inside or outside? You're a sinner, you're troubled. You know you're not seen. You've rejected the Lord. If you have questions, I'm here afterwards for you. I'll gladly spend time with you opening the Scriptures. I invite you to come. Most of you know me, but now I'll speak gladly with you. If you don't know me, bring somebody with you. We'll sit and talk together. Young person, now the Lord is calling. It's time to be saved. You come tonight. May God help you. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank the Lord for this solemnity. And Lord, we're dealing with a solemn passage. We recognize, Lord, there's a great division, even in our text. And there's a great division in our church tonight. Those that are saved, those that are still in their sin outside. Oh God, I pray that would bring the eternal realities of this verse before the heart of the sinner. The danger that they're in, they've been shut out eternally. Shut out with no second chance. Shut out from God forever. In the place of gnashing and weeping. And of that lake that burneth with fire. Where Christ will say, I know you not. Depart from me. O God, I pray, thou would be pleased to bring a soul to an end of themselves. Thou would give that gift of grace tonight, whereby that they will turn from their sin unto the Savior. They'll ask the Lord into their heart. They'll ask the Lord to save them and to wash them in the blood. And be ready. Be ready. For heaven and for home. Lord, speak on, we pray. When preacher's voice is silent, we fear lest this would be the last opportunity given to some loved one. O God, moved by thy Spirit, bring them to Christ, and Christ will be glorified. For we ask these things in his name and for his glory's sake.